91.3, welcome back to the show. Violent clashes in Kiev, in the Ukraine, continued for another day as Ukrainian riot police battled anti-government protesters occupying a central square in the capital amidst the worst crisis the country has faced since independence from the Soviet Union in 1991. At least 25 people were reported to have been killed and hundreds injured in the violence, the deadliest clashes in 3 months of anti-government protests. Dr. David Leffler, Executive Director, Center for Advanced Military Science, the Institute of Science, Technology and Public Policy, recently co-wrote an op-ed entitled "The Proven Strategy to Prevent Turmoil in Ukraine." To analyze the current situation and the very interesting topic of the op-ed is Dr. David Leffler himself. Dr. Leffler, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sheffley.
Now, the situation in the Ukraine, very worrying, isn't it? Other commentators telling us that what we've got in the Ukraine is basically a split down the middle, one part of the country being Soviet-orientated and the other part of the country wanting to join with the West. Is that too simple an understanding?
Well, that's just probably about as simple as you could make it, so that's probably as best you can say. It's very complicated on one level, yes.
Indeed. Now, how do we understand what's happening right now? We see that the anti-government protesters have hung on for dear life. I mean, they are certainly not letting go. We have seen a measure of compromise from the Ukrainian government, but obviously not satisfying the anti-government protesters. Do we have something of a political deadlock or gridlock in the Ukraine right now?
Well, this is a common thing that happens. What happens is that the social stress in the society builds up. And as it builds up, then factions are created. And ultimately what happens then is that this creates enemies. And unfortunately what could possibly happen in Ukraine is once we have the enemies established now, that ultimately war will come about. And what will happen when the war comes about is the military traditionally is spent in to try to dispel the problem. But particularly here, the former president of Ukraine is even predicting the possibility of a civil war, so then things can really get intense. But there is now a way to advanced practice of the Transcendental Meditation program to have a large group of people, preferably the military, practice these techniques, advanced techniques in a group, and they can actually reduce the social stress and prevent the enemies, prevent the factions from fighting, and actually people will think more clearly, they'll calm things down, and some kind of arrangement can be made between the factions to everyone's benefit so the war doesn't happen to happen.
Now, this transcendental meditation you're talking about, it was brought to the West by the late Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, also famed, I think, for his relationship with the Beatles and some other pop icons of the 60s and 70s. But you've coined a phrase called invincible defense technology. Now, when one hears the word invincible defense technology, one sort of immediately thinks of satellites, things like, you know, stopping weapons from doing things. But invincible defense technology here is basically the power of the mind more than anything else.
Well, basically, if you think about it, the word invincible means incapable of being defeated. And, of course, defense means defending. And technology basically is applied science. So this human resource technology, the advanced practice of transcendental meditation, is known in military circles as invincible defense technology. And the reason for that is that the military that uses this human resource technology becomes invincible because literally there's no one to fight. They actually prevent the enemy from arising in the first place. And actually, by doing these techniques twice a day in a group, they create victory before war. And believe it or not, militaries are actually doing this in places in Latin America, in Asia, as well as in Africa. Mozambique had very, very good success training their military and also police members and other aspects of their society in these techniques. And they were, you may remember the history of Mozambique, basically they had something like 30 years of war, first a war of independence from Portugal, and then a civil war after that, and it was a very difficult situation to solve. And the president of Mozambique, President Chissano, he learned this technique, was very impressed. He had the members of his cabinet, learned it, the members of his military, and he decided to use it. And now Mozambique, formerly the poorest country in the world, is now in very much better shape than it was when the war was stopped.
So how exactly does one go about this, as you say, this invincible defense technology, which is basically transcendental meditation? I mean, how do you convince groups of people that this is going to work, that this is going to defuse violent and murderous situations? I mean, what's the ABC of it?
Well, basically, there's been over 50 studies now that show that this technique works, and it's been done, you know, field tests. For instance, during the Lebanon conflict, there was a group of experts that gathered in Israel. Some of the people were Israeli. Some of them came from various places around the world. And this number of group of people varied, which actually made for a good experiment. An independent review board of scientists was set up before the experiment was done, and they predicted that things would get better as they did this. And sure enough, when the research was tabulated, they found that the cooperation among the antagonists rose by 60%. The war intensity fell 48%. War fatality fell 71%. War injuries fell 68%. And I know you people in the radio can't actually see the charts, but if they go to our article, they can actually see a graph that was done of the numbers of people who are practicing these advanced meditation techniques versus the index of all various things like war intensity, war deaths, even crime rate, other indicators of social stress. And the two lines follow each other exactly. In fact, when this study was submitted to the Journal of Conflict Resolution, which was edited at that time at Yale University, a very respected peer-reviewed journal, the editor said, well, you know, I just can't believe this. You know, how can people practicing these meditation techniques affect a war that's going on, you know, some distance away? And he demanded more follow-up studies. And a professor at the University of Maryland, he did a follow-up study, and basically it was found that the chances of all these things happening at the same time were just astronomically unbelievable. And basically, it's a very powerful technology which can be used to prevent war and terrorism.
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you're referring to the power of the mind as a technology. I think for a lot of people that is totally out of the box thinking, which is very interesting. Is the what's behind the transcendental meditation, is it something that reduces social stress? Because in South Africa, this is something we understand quite graphically, a post-apartheid society where there is a lot of post-traumatic stress disorders that are hidden in society. There's a lot of anger and quite a large amount of resentment as well. Does this technique of transcendental meditation or invincible defense technology, does it reduce social stress and by doing so diffuse anger and make people more peaceful and more rational?
Oh, absolutely. For their benefit, the transcendental meditation technique is a simple, natural technique that's practiced for 15 to 20 minutes morning and evening while sitting comfortably with your eyes closed. It's easy to learn, effortless to practice. It does not require specific beliefs or changes in lifestyle or behavior. More than 6 million people worldwide have learned this technique of all ages, cultures, religions, and educational backgrounds. And what literally happens, not only does it, the research show when people practice transcendental meditation that they become more relaxed and less stressed, but literally they affect the environment around them. For instance, in the 1970s, when Maharishi first started bringing transcendental meditation to the United States, at that particular time, the crime rate was rising very, very much. And so a study was done, and they found that when 1% of a city would practice transcendental meditation as compared to control cities with similar demographics and other things like that, they found that while the crime rate went up in the control cities, in the cities that had 1% of the people meditating, the crime rate would go down. So basically, when we have more advanced meditation techniques, it's much more powerful, and particularly when people practice these things in group, then it affects society even at a much more profound level.
How do you convince battle-hardened soldiers, cynical politicians? Joachim Chissano came from a very troubled country, as you say, Mozambique, where it was used. How do you convince people that they must get together in groups or 15, 20 minutes a day, if they indulge in transcendental meditation, that they can have a positive effect on traumatized, conflict-strewn society?
Well, basically, the job of the military is to protect society, and they want to have the most advanced technology available to do that. And we've seen throughout history that it's always been a cat-and-mouse game, that one side gets one advanced technology and another one tries to get it as well. And so that's why the militaries are doing this, because a military, say, from a country that doesn't have a large military, rather than be in a situation where they can't compete with somebody who has a bigger military, they can use this technique to practice, and literally they prevent the enemy from arising. They have the strategic advantage then. I mean, this is talked about way in the ancient literature. The famous warrior Sun Tzu in The Art of War talked about the supreme art of war is not to fight. So militaries are actually doing this because they know the cutbacks and financial problems that many countries are having these days. They can't win an arms race, but if they have a human resource-based technology, they have a lot of soldiers. These soldiers are then traveling together in groups anyway, so it makes sense for them to do these techniques. And there's also another benefit here that, ironically, when the soldiers and the warriors practice these techniques, they become better warriors. The research shows they have higher intelligence quotient, faster reaction times, higher moral reasoning. They can do all sorts of things they normally couldn't do before, and they find them not tired. One of the people on my staff was formerly a Navy SEAL. He passed away recently, but he actually used meditation when he was in battle. And compared to the other Navy SEALs, he was, after 24 hours of trying to run across a country, he was fresh. He just meditated out in the jungle, and he was ready to do battle, while his former SEALs were not in, they were in pretty bad shape despite being in excellent condition. So it's better for the warrior to have this technique on an individual level, but ironically, the better they become at meditating, the less likely they'll have to fight.
It really is a very interesting scenario. Now, we started the discussion saying that the Ukraine, which has become dangerously polarized, and as your op-ed points out, the more the situation polarizes, the more the stronger the divisions become, and the more difficult the scenario becomes. And you're suggesting that this should be tried out in the Ukraine. Have you had any success in trying to convince anybody in that country to try out invincible defense technology, which is just basically transcendental meditation, which has a positive effect on the human body in terms of reducing stress and enhancing people to resolve conflict? Have you had any sort of feedback in terms of the Ukraine?
Well, we have people who are approaching the leaders, and the editorial was published in the Ukraine, and it's also been published in other countries worldwide, so probably just a matter of time, and the military of Ukraine will do it. In fact, it's just a matter of time before the military of South Africa does this, because literally, to compete with the other militaries, they don't have the most advanced technology. This technology works at the level that physicists call the unified field, where all the forces of nature are united. It far supersedes the nuclear force, the chemical force, the electronic forces, which our current defense systems are based on. So if you work on that finer level, which is more powerful than those other levels, then the military that has this technology has the strategic advantage and has the upper hand.
You've mentioned South Africa. Have you been in contact with the South African military authorities in terms of all of this?
Well, I can't go into detail, but there is one particular officer that who does practice transcendental meditation and has approached people, and we'll see what happens. But literally, South Africa won't be able to wait too much longer because other military is already doing this in Africa, and they have the upper hand over you. So, you know, it's a defense race, or an arms race, but not really arms. This is a technology which creates peace, which creates coherence in society, and prevents the war in the first place. But it still is a defense technology, and the military is obliged to look into new technologies to protect their country. That's what they get paid to do. If they're not protecting their country with the most advanced technology, why bother to have them then?
Indeed. You've mentioned Mozambique, so we can assume, you know, that they are on board. What other African countries have bought into the idea of invincible defense technology, the technology of the mind, creating greater peace and reducing the idea of conflict?
Well, for security reasons, I can't talk about that right now. But as soon as their systems are fully operational, I'm sure they'll be bragging about it. Just like, in fact, I was informed that the militaries in Africa, how they became interested was because the militaries in Latin America were bragging about their invincible defense systems. And so it's not even something that my colleagues have been bragging about so much, but it's the military people who are having such profound experiences, not only on the individual level feeling better, more rested and being better warriors, but actually preventing wars, and they're talking about it to the other military. So it's just a matter of time, and your military will be doing this too.
Now, earlier in the interview, we mentioned the successes in Lebanon, like war-related fatalities decreasing by 71%, war-related injuries falling by 68%, and the whole conflict dropping by nearly 50%, and antagonists increasing cooperation by 66%, which are impressive stats. South America, another part of the world which has a lot of conflict scenarios, what has been the success in South America?
Success has been good. I'm not aware of any studies right now that are completed yet, but one country did study this using their military psychologists and concluded that this was definitely something worth doing. They taught it to their military academies, and now they're teaching it to all the members of the military and having very, very good success. But there's an important thing I'd like to talk about here is that eventually the militaries in Latin America we'll be getting to these numbers. I should explain a concept here. In order for this to work, you need the square root of 1% of the country's population practicing these techniques together in the group, the Advanced TM program. And there was a study done during back in 1983 where advanced practitioners of these techniques gathered at a university here in Iowa after a very short time, and they succeeded the square root of 1% of the population of the world. At that time, it was about 7,000 people. A study was done, and it was published in the Journal of Offender Rehabilitation, a very respected peer-reviewed journal, and it was found that during that period, international conflict decreased 32%, terrorist casualties decreased 72%. And so it's just a matter of time that one of these militaries in Latin America will be reaching the critical threshold of the world's population, which is about probably 8,000 or so at this time. And once that happens, then we will start seeing, believe it or not, probably crime rate going down in South Africa, and less war, all sorts of terrorism going down. All these things will start happening. So literally, ideally, what Maharishi wanted to have done was have groups of 7,000 or so of warriors practicing these techniques in every continent. And that way, he felt that war and terrorism could be nipped in the bud. And particularly with my country, the United States, we have bases all around the world, so this could easily be done. In fact, another way it could be done is we have serial battle groups, which can consist up to 10,000 warriors. If we would teach these techniques to the chariot battle group, and our commander-in-chief, President Obama, feels that things are getting intense, say, in the Middle East, then he could send a chariot battle group, which is going to be there anyway. They could practice these techniques. They would never have to interlope on anyone's territory. And literally, they could calm things down before they even arrived in the Middle East. So it's a very, very exciting thing that's taking place. And world, lasting world peace is really achievable and will be achieved soon, ironically, by militaries, probably in Latin America.
And those are the words of our special guest for this part of the show, Dr. David Leffler, Executive Director of the Center for Advanced Military Science, except here, the Advanced Military Science Invincible Defense Technology is just the power of the mind. And if people perform transcendental meditation in large enough groups, there's a mathematical formula for this, but if they do it in large enough numbers, it has a hugely positive effect on creating peace, calming people down, reducing crime rates, and of course major conflict. Dr. David Leffler, it's been absolutely fascinating chatting to you.
And thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Jeffrey. It was really fun.
Thank you.